Because I said so. If I was to ask you to, if you've ever heard that term in your life, to raise your hand, everybody of adulthood, that hand would go up. Every time my mother would tell me to do something, I was always inquisitive. Mama, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. Now, that wouldn't work with my dad. And if he told you to do something, you don't ask him why. You just best go and get it done. But this morning, what we're going to talk about is not what Bill Horn said. Not because I said so. It's because of what God said. God said so, as we covered the scriptures this morning. In Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed once unto man to die, and then comes the judgment. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:8, there Paul says it's appointed once unto, we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he says, to give account of the things that's done in this body, whether they be good or bad. Now, I use these two scriptures this morning for the benefit of anyone sitting in this auditorium this morning that has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot take those two scriptures lightly, because there is a death coming. It's appointed. God knows when it's going to be. We don't know, but we do know that we have an appointment with death coming. And another fact is that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're all going to give account of things done in this body, in this life, where we are and where we stand, whether it be good or bad. I said those two is because I want anyone is in this auditorium today that's not obeyed the gospel to know that's a fact. But my lesson this morning is the basics. We're going to go through the basics. Sheila Spencer, there you are. Sheila spent some time with Beverly and I yesterday afternoon, and we were talking. And during our conversation, and Sheila had sort of mentioned that she'd like to get to where she could remember some scripture. So as I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a sample. Pick five or six scriptures out and take those and learn those and be able to recite those. And it just so happened that after she went home and I went to bed, Victor called and said, you know, he was not going to be here. So what we're going to do is we're going to cover the basics this morning for the benefit of those that's in the audience that might need to obey the gospel. The first one is hearing. You've got to be able to hear. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, there Paul says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's no way that you're going to grow to the point that you know that you're lost unless you hear the word of God. You got to get into the book, read it, understand it, and apply it to your life. So one of the things you've got to do is hear the word of God. It's funny, when I was growing up as a teenager, I could never understand a lot of religious stuff that I was involved in. I was listening intently. Even though I could hear it, I couldn't understand it. So obviously I wasn't hearing it the way I should have heard it, or I'd have been gone long before I did go. But when I did get to the point that I could apply that to my life, I began to ask questions. Because I read somewhere in the Bible there was something that I had to do. So I started asking different preachers to do this for me because I haven't done it yet. And they would give me a song and dance by saying, well, we can do that, but first you've got to come and you've got to be a member of my church. You've got to join the church and then we'll take care of your needs in that area. And finally, I told one preacher, I said, you're not getting through to me because that's not what I read in the Bible. Then he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a little black book. And I said, preacher, don't do that to me. His articles of faith that he had to read to me, why he couldn't baptize me until I joined the church. And finally, he admitted, he said, you know, my dad is a member of the Church of Christ. And they believe the way that you're asking me to do. And by the providence of God, the phone rang sometime during that week, and it was my dear friend and Beverly's neighbor when she was a kid, Gladys Peacock, Glenn's mother-in-law. And she had some Bible films she wanted to show Bill and Beverly. So Beverly asked me, she said, Gladys wants to know if you want to see some films. I says, yeah, but I'm going to join the Baptist church. I was going to make that preacher do what I wanted to do, whether he wanted to or not. But you know, after I started getting in the Word, when I started seeing things and explained to me, I realized, Bill Horn, you've been playing in the wrong sandbox. Here's somebody that loves you enough to come in your home on Saturday night and ask stupid, cranky questions that you made up just trying to stump them. It's not to embarrass him, but I got to say this to him because I love him more than just a Christian brother. I just love him if he was my own brother. Larry Polk's name came up, and I said, Larry Polk, do you know where he went to school? And it came out that he went to the same school I did. So I went and got my annual, came back out, and I found. I said, is this the Larry Polk you're talking about? Yeah, that's him. I said, I want him here next Saturday because I just don't believe that's the same Larry Polk. Bless his heart, driving all the way from the far northwest part of Jacksonville to the beach to sit down with a bully to answer a simple question. But when I saw how sincere he was and how sincere I was about wanting to know the truth, folks, he wanted to take me right then to baptize me. And I should have went. I took a chance and I said, no, I want to make my confession in front of the whole congregation. I'll be in church in the morning and we'll take care of that tomorrow. And we did, and we have not looked back since that time. But you got to hear it to know, because when you hear it, you become a believer. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you get from the belief, from the hearing to the belief part, then you read there and you say, it's impossible to please God without faith. Well, faith is the fuel that drives us in our Christianity. If we don't have a strong faith, we don't have an anchor to hold us to the truth. So I got to thinking about that, hearing and believing. That's simple enough. But the hard part is this. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish, Jesus said. So here's the hard part. Repent. I've been a good person all my life. What have I got to repent of? That's, you know, focusing too much on yourself and how good I am. But at this point in my study with the Peacocks and with Larry Falk, I trusted them in what I had to do. I knew that I was not exactly what you call a walking example of Christianity. I mean, after all, I was a young man. I've had my exposure to the world. Some of it I enjoyed and some of it I didn't. But I was still, in the back of my mind, a religious person. So I better pay attention and do what I got to do to be reconciled to God the way God wanted me to be reconciled to Him. I had to turn my life around. I had to make that commitment. Because why go this far and don't want to do the rest after you've been looking for something to change your life? Why put it off any further? So, as patient as he was, and he let me put it off until the next day, I laid in my bed that night thinking about the things that I did as a teenager, the things that I did that caused Mama, my mother, to lay in her bed at night. You can hear her praying as she was going to sleep for her kids. And then I began to feel real cheap about myself, because myself was being selfish. It's time to let go of those things and get right. As simple as it may sound, you got to get it right. So, in Luke 13:3, you know, that's when Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said it twice in verse 3 and 5. Except you repent, you're going to likewise perish. And then the confession part, Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, he that will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Now this is what I really wanted to do. And I'm not trying to make this sermon about me, but I'm making about the scriptures that I had to obey. This is what they did in the first century. And I'm just catching up with what they did in the first century. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go before the congregation. I wanted to know, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I wanted everybody to hear Bill Horn make that statement. Everybody that was there. And then following the confession, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said in Mark 16:16. There it is. That's what I've been looking for, that nobody would give me when I wanted it the most. When I asked somebody to baptize me and they told me they couldn't do it unless I joined their church. And another one would tell you, oh, that's not essential. Why don't you come over and take over our youth group and build it up, and let's get some of these kids off the street. But the Bible, that's what I read. And that's what I wanted to do, preacher. Don't show me your book that's written by your apostatized religion that you got up there writing these creeds and what have you. Let's do what the book says. That he made the good confession that his father was an elder in the Church of Christ. And that made me feel good, because Gladys had already called, want to know if we want to see the film. Said, oh yeah, I want to see them now, for sure. And then we're to remain faithful until death. And this part is for the new converts here in the auditorium this morning that has not been a Christian very long. Being faithful is not just coming in and sitting down and not missing a worship service. That's part of it. Because we're assembled together, we're to break bread together, we're to sing songs together, and we're to fellowship one with another. We can encourage one another about being here. And that's a give me. The doors are open, come in, sit down, and worship. If we have a gospel meeting, part of that being faithful until death is supporting your gospel meetings. If you're not ill, out, sick, or whatever, is to, when the doors are open in the gospel meeting, be here for the gospel meeting. As Victor's already announced, on December 1st, we're having an area-wide gospel meeting that Oceanside got it started. Victor was the really the steering committee, if you want to call him that. He and Larry and I, we went to some of those meetings to support him. That's coming up, and it's going to be something that has not been done in this area in quite a few years. We're going to have a fantastic speaker coming in from the Northeast. And we're going to have a meeting in four different congregations. That sounds like, well, that's going to be inconvenient. No, that's going to be inspiring. When you get in and go to each one of these congregations and then you hear the same speaker, you see people you've never seen in quite a long time, and especially visitors coming in that's never obeyed the gospel. That's going to be inspiring. That's going to be encouraging. That's going to make you want to stay more faithful than you've ever been before. Now, we've got to the part now where you've obeyed the gospel. A lot of times we think when you obeyed the gospel, you've made it. We get them to the baptistry. We take the confession. We baptize them. They come out of the water, a new child of God. And a lot of times we just give them some material and say, catch up on this, answer these questions, get back with me if you have any questions. But we can't do that. We got to nurture these new babes in Christ. You got to stay faithful until death. Revelation 2:10 says to be faithful. And not only that, you're to, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 said, you got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed. When you study, that's where your faith grows, because you're in the Word of God now. And as Paul said in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So you got to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needed not be ashamed. You got to be zealous in good works. Part of that good works is Galatians 6:10. Paul says there in Galatians, as you therefore have the opportunity to do good unto other people, especially those of the household of faith. There's always somebody needing something, and mostly a word of encouragement goes a long way. That's why we have the outreach program, where you get assigned phone numbers and card requests and what have you. And we do that. Sometimes I complete my assignment, I forget to send it back to the one that gave me the name, let them know that it's completed. And I apologize to you for that. But And Beverly, every day of her life, calls somebody in this congregation that's either been sick or is sick, or if you talk to her very long, she might talk to you long enough that you get sick, because she can talk. But bless her heart, she's a good phone caller. She likes to talk to people here in this congregation. And finally, brethren, we have a command of God that says that we're to love one another. A new commandment that I give unto you is to love thyself as thy neighbor, to love one another and keep one another encouraged. What we covered here this morning is the steps of salvation. This is how to get you into Christ. There are some men here this morning that has not obeyed the gospel of Christ. Please don't go home without being saved. If you got sin in your life this morning as a Christian and you need to get it off, don't delay it. Come and let us pray with you and for you to get that sin wiped out, so that when the time comes, when the roll is called up yonder, we'll all be there. If you have any need of spiritual nature, won't you come this morning as we stand and sing?